Amen. Good to see all of you here tonight. We'll be in the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms. Good to have a good bus full on the bus route. I think I recognize a new one. Brother Scott, is there a new little girl? New boy. Wow. I didn't see him. I thought I saw a new little girl. I see. There is a new boy. I see him back there. Thank you for being with us. Glad to have all of you here. Don't forget the youth choir. You will have practice after church tonight. After church tonight, see Miss Haley if you would please. Psalm chapter 42. Psalm chapter 42. And there's a lot of emphasis this year, this time of year, every year, when we get around March Madness, about winning. Everybody's winning. Start out with a bunch of teams, and they dwindle them down till there's not but one standing. And I was thinking about that, and the bracket, I always have a good time with our kids. We usually, at least for the last 5 years, we've put together a bracket. Most of the time, my wife puts it according to the color of the uniform. Whoever's got bright color, that's who she picks. She actually did far better than I did this year. But as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about how to handle upsets. Because I never watch the college basketball at all until it gets to this time of the year. And I tell you, some of it is pretty rough. And I guess what really got me thinking about this topic was when UConn, Lady UConn, lost to Mississippi State the other night. Lady UConn's had a 111-game win streak. There were people on their team that were graduating that never experienced a loss in college. Last loss was 800 and something days ago. Well, more than that now. But of course, they handled it as well as you'd expect. I mean, they were broken. They really were broken. They cried a lot. They interviewed their coach, and I have a lot of respect for their coach. Listened to him talk, and he said, over all these years, we've sent a whole bunch of girls into those locker rooms crying. It had to be our turn, sooner or later. And I knew it was coming. It was just when. And how to handle it. And the lady asked, well, how are you going to handle this? And he said, we'll work. And hopefully this taste of this loss will stay in our mouth. And we won't want this taste no more. So how to handle upset. And I saw a lot of that going on during this time. So, you know, some people, they get them some Rolaids. Some get them some Tums. Some of their stomach's upset. Listen, when your stomach's upset, reach for your favorite antacid. You got to do whatever you got to do. You just grab it. But when your emotions and your spirits are upset, let me tell you something, there's no greater help than the Word of God. Reach for the Bible. Reach for the Word of God. And ask yourself a couple of questions that we're going to go over tonight. In Psalms chapter 42, verse 5, verse 11, and Psalms 43, verse 5, all say the same thing. Let's read them together. We'll read all three verses, starting Psalm 42, verse number 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Psalms 43, verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the help of my countenance and my God. Three times David penned the same exact thing as he went through this and he wrote them. And it, when I saw that, it stuck out at me that those three times all in a row, right there really close together, the same thing, kind of just popped out to me that, you know, you're going to be disappointed sometimes over the same three things. Sometimes over the same seven things. Sometimes somebody's going to disappoint you 18 times. Sometimes you might disappoint somebody seven times. You might disappoint somebody one time. I've been on the receiving end of both. I've disappointed more people than I'd like to count on, and I've been disappointed. I really have. It's just, it's a part of life. And how do you handle these upsets? You know, there's two questions here to ask yourself. And they're both in all three places it's written. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And we've got to come to a point that we identify the cause of whatever it is that's upsetting us. And David's asking us, why art thou cast down, O my soul? He's asking. We've got to identify the cause of what really has upset us. A lot of times we only identify the results or the effects. We don't get to the root of the problem. And if we never get to the root, what really it is that's bothering us. Now listen, sometimes when you ask yourself this, we give very, very vague answers. Whatever it appears to be on the surface, whatever's there on the surface, well, this is the problem. This is it. So why art thou cast down? That's a good question. Ask yourself that. Secondly, David said there, why art thou disquieted in me? That's another question. Why within me? Is the cause, we've done identified it. That's the first thing. We identify what's so upsetting. Is the cause worth the upset? Is the cause worth the upset? Yesterday I saw a quote. I wish I wrote this one. Worry is a down payment on a problem that we don't even have yet. Worry is a down payment on a problem that we don't even have yet. So we identify, why art thou cast down? You ask yourself, why am I upset? What's troubling me? What is really bothering me? Identify, not just the fruits or the surface thing. Get to really what is bothering you. And then ask yourself, what is the worth of this upset? Should I be upset? Somebody said this, sorrow of heart springs from unbelief rather than from the greatness of evil that is in before us. A sorrow of heart. The sorrow of heart springs from unbelief rather than from greatness of the evils we face. And then ask yourself this question. Okay? Why? What's the problem? We identified it. Is it worth it? Is the upset, because there's righteous indignation, is it in proportion to the wrong? Sometimes I think we blow up some things. You know what they? What's the old saying? It became an anthill, became a mound. Make a mountain out of a molehill. We got moles. I mean, they're digging up everywhere around out here. Every time I walk past them, it seems like the mound's got big as this pulpit. I've stuck sticks down in there. I hope there's no pita people here. I've tried to javelin. I went and bought some old poison worms and jabbed down in there today. I hope they eat them down. People's going to trip on them things over there, you know. But is the upset proportional to the cause, whatever the cause was? Whatever it was, you've got to identify. That's the first thing. Whatever it is that's upset you, you identify that, and then you weigh it out. Am I even acting rational in this? I mean, it's honest that, you know, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. There's been times, dear friend, that my reaction after I stepped back, I said, man alive, I was a donkey. I wasn't even nice in that situation. So is the proportion, is it, you know, oh, you know, then ask yourself this. What about God? In this situation, what about God? Where is He in my life? Is God smaller than my problem? Is my problem eclipsing God? Am I so wrapped up in the anger of the situation and moment that I cannot see and hear the whisper of God? Mr. David says, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted? And he says this, hope thou in God. Hope thou in God. Okay, so you got these two questions. Why am I cast down? Well, this is the reason. Okay, if this is the reason, then is the response and my anger, my upset, the trouble in my spirit, my soul, is it even worth and equal to, is the proportion even greater? Because, you know, I was talking with Ethan the other day. He said this. After about 12 hours, the problem I thought was something really wasn't a problem. It was, well, it's done with. Sometimes it's just the moment. Sometimes it's just right there. Where, and, you know, it could be moments upon moments. It could be, you know, had a bad day at work or stayed up all night with the kids. They were sick. And then I had, you know, had to get another one to school. And then I had to get to work. And, you know, my boss was upset because I was about 10 minutes late because I was stuck in traffic. And, you know, it just continued to roll and roll. What's the old saying? When it rains, it pours. And then sometimes, you know, just there at the moment, and then we generally speaking, we didn't explode at our boss because we know the results there. We explode to those closest to us when we get home. And we bring hurt and pain and heartache to them when we get home. And then when it's all said, man, that wasn't even worth it. David said, hope thou in God. Now, hope involves an expectantly waiting for someone or something. And David is waiting for God in this portion of passage of Scripture. And that's where we need to be waiting. And listen, whenever there's a need, for patience, there is a ground for hope. If that argument or that situation or that troublesome time in your life right then, is it going to take away your salvation? Is it going to break your relationship with God? Is it going to destroy a relationship with a husband and wife or a son and a father or a daughter and a mother, or, you know, or a brother and sister, the gravity of the situation? And if the answer is absolutely no, dear friend, listen, there is nothing wrong with you stepping back, taking a breath and saying, God, we need you in this situation. Instead of running through our normal plan A, plan B, plan C until it's destroyed, till we get to the point where we really understand that, hey, we're like the prodigal son. We're in a hog pen eating slop. Hope is based on God's revelation of Himself. And where do we get that hope from? The Word of God. The answers of our problem is in the Word of God. And it's in His statements. He said, I am that I am. There is none like me, God said. So we get this hope, we gain hope, and we have hope and understanding of the God that we have through the Word of God. Not only through the statements that He said of Himself and made of Himself, but how He has performed for others. We get that knowledge from Scripture. How did he perform, for Joseph? How did he perform for Gideon? How did he perform for the nation of Israel? How did he perform for Abraham? And then it goes on beyond that. How did he perform in the lives of our church family? How did he perform? Well, you know, we have church family. Maybe they had cancer or sickness, heart attack or whatever. How did God perform in that? This is the evidence of the hope that we have. And then his very character. The Bible says God cannot lie. So we look at all this and we get in this and this is helping us with upsets, because we're going to have them in life. We're going to have times in our life where it just seems like we're turned upside down. Listen to this. Hope is a prophet of future benefits. Hope is a prophet of future benefits. What's the verse we talked about just past Sunday night? That we would forget not all his benefits. If you think you've got it good down here, dear friend, I'm going to tell you, to be honest with you, I feel like I've got a really, really good life. I really do. I've got a good woman. I've got 8 children. I've got 4 grandchildren. I've got 3 deacons that love this church. They're not fighting with each other and each other. I got good deacon wives. There's some pastors don't have this. They don't afford this here wealth that I have. I have a good song leader, Brother Jim. I've got excellent Sunday school teachers. I feel like I have a wonderful, wonderful life here on earth. But this is nothing to compare to the future benefits that I'm going to enjoy. Now, if it was that I had a song leader that was never, accommodating, like I ask Brother Jim sometimes, Brother Jim, can we sing 159? He could look over and say, sing a solo. I don't know, why didn't you come to me before church, Pastor? I've had a long day and I want to get home. You could, every business meeting could be, we could have schisms and fights and fusses in here. But we don't. I mean, we do. God has blessed us with a good church family with just amazement. We have our problems. We have folks that are not as faithful in some areas as they should be, or not as come forth as you have to. They'll do anything you ask them to do, but they ain't volunteer for nothing. I think they've been in the army. Right? First time I volunteered for something, I never did again volunteer. I found out quick in the army, volunteering is not the right answer. But them other guys were smarter than me. First drill sergeant would ask for a volunteer, they'd all step backwards, leave me standing up there in the front. Oh, come on, Stockton, let's go. Listen, all that happens to us in life, even if you've got a bad life, even if today you have troublesome life and times of heartache and pain and sickness and health, no good, you can't hardly get around. You've lost loved ones, you've lost job, you've gone bankrupt, you've had mental breakdowns. I think about Pastor Bobby Robinson up in North Carolina, Gospel Light Baptist Church, pastors up there, probably about 3,000-4,000 folks up there he pastors. I think he's about 80 years old now. He had a mental breakdown. Their associate pastor had to pastor in his stead until he got his mind back to where, and he's still pastoring today. Lost his wife just a couple of years ago. And I tell you, Brother Robson will tell you this today if he was here. This is just a moment of all the troublesome times. But oh, the hope of the benefit that's before us. So ask yourself, you identify the problem, and you figured out, well, I shouldn't have been so heavy on that. I should have been a little heavier on that, because all of us, I'm going to tell you, be honest with you, there's times that with my kids, I was not as heavy as I should have been. There was other times I was way overboard. It's that simple. I'm just praying that they'll have grace with me, and at the end they'll weigh them out and say, well, I got to weigh some of this stuff here. God, he was too heavy on that, so we're even, Dad. I love you anyway. But when it's all said and done, what's waiting on me in heaven and all the glory that God has put into heaven? Some of you have done some traveling and seen some beautiful things here on earth. This earth is cursed, dear friend. There's nothing cursed in heaven. You think this is beautiful. I mean, we traveled out and saw the Niagara Falls one time with my wife a couple years ago. It was beautiful. Went out to probably about 12, 15 years ago, went out to the Grand Canyon out there up in North New Mexico, Flagstaff. Beautiful. Deepest hole I ever seen in my life. It scared me to death just to look down there. So what if I fall? They'd just leave you, I guess. Beautiful. But that Grand Canyon is because of the flood. There's none of that in heaven. They get these diamonds and they fight and they, kill and they kidnap people to get these diamonds from these countries so that they can use them in open market. Gold. And they used to say we had more gold locked up in Fort Knox than we had anywhere else. All the gold. We'll be walking on it. Pearls. And our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ Himself. The benefit. How do you get through upsets? Got to get your eye on Jesus. Get your eye on God. I mean, who could have predicted the outcome of Jonah? I mean, just help me out there a moment. Ain't nobody else been swallowed up by a whale and lived in there 3 days and three nights and then spit up on the other side of the shore. I mean, who could have predicted that? That was the hand of God. And I know you've had your well moments. You may have not got down into the belly of a well, but you've been sucked up by the problems and trials of life because of decisions that you have made. God walked you through it, didn't He? Come, He got you right back to just like with Jonah. This amazing thing, Jonah was obedient. Bang! Shoo! Boy, he shot off through there at Nineveh. Began to preach. People got saved. The king threw sackcloth and ashes on himself. Next thing you know, you find Jonah up on the other side of the hill by a juniper tree, mully grubbing. And then the Bible says that the worm or locust ate the gourd, and the sun's beating on him. I'd have been afraid that the worm would have ate me. He just got out of a whale's belly. Preacher, that ain't all true. Those are just allegories and stories. Maybe that's why you can't get through your upsets. Because your God's an allegory and story. I have a living God. Amen. That was robed in the flesh and died on the cross of Calvary for me. And for you. Listen to this. Someone said it like this. And I wish I knew who said this. If you can find it, I'd like to have the person's name. Hope is exclusive. Listen to what it says. Hope is exclusive. It is a matter of membership, members only. It's a matter of members only. We're talking about hope in God. Hope is exclusive. It is a matter of members only. But listen to this. Membership, however, is open to all. It's open to all. My wife and kids are a member of some kind of exercise place. What is that place called, Benji, your mom's a member of? Planet Fitness. I can't go in there unless I go with her. I can walk up there and knock on the door and say, look, can I come in? You got a membership? No. It's open to me. All I got to do is pay my due, go on in. Listen, the hope I'm talking about, if you don't know God as your personal Lord and Savior through Jesus Christ, dear friend, it's open to you. It's open. You're not excluded, but you're excluded from the hope until you have membership in God's family. What did David say? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. And then there's that assurance to take yourself and just say, Lord, here am I. I render myself to you, for I shall yet praise him. Wasn't it good whenever the sun comes up? Isn't it good when you go through those trials and troubles and heartaches and pain that the storm runs out of rain and then all of a sudden here comes the sun up and will you feel the presence of God? You feel the presence. I will yet praise him. Listen to what it says. Who is the health of my countenance? My God. My God. Let me tell you something, dear friend. You're going through some trials. You're going through some troubles. You're going through some difficulties, dear. Keep your chin up. You're still God's child. Amen. Keep your chin up. Stand tall for the Lord. Because He is help of my countenance. It's J. Harold Seidler. Pastored up in Tabernacle Baptist Church in South Carolina, Greensboro? I think it was. Greensboro, South Carolina. He said this. He said, Pastor Long, big church up there. We just took up some Bibles last year, 2 years ago. Riley and I took them up, dropped them off, gave them over to China. But he said in his preaching, latter days, his health had started to wane. He preached out a lot, and pastor the church, and he was probably in his 80s, and his health began to wane. He was headed off to a revival up into the mountains. Church probably had about 12 members up in the mountains, and his wife said, listen, honey, it's only 12 of them. You're feeling bad. You're tired. He said, if I can just go preach Jesus one more time. She said, well, you could die on the road. You know, have a flat tire, get pulled out, have a stroke, whatever. He said, that'd be fine. Just tell them that just make sure everybody knows that God didn't let me down. No. That I didn't down that side of the road because God was not there. It was God's time. But sometimes death comes our way and it passes by us, takes a loved one, maybe even takes us home. God hadn't let you down. Amen. They're enjoying the benefits of God's hope. We're hoping, Lord, there's better days coming. Lord, one day I'm walking on the street of gold. How do you know that? Because the statement's in the Bible. You know, because the statement's in the Bible. Because God's character. Because He's interacted in my life throughout my lifetime. And He's made Himself known in my life. His Word says, I believe it. I'm going to follow it. I'm going to stay with it. The help of our countenance. Listen, He'll cause your face to shine. He'll wipe away those tears one day. Amen. And right now, you're just going to cry. It's just part of life. There's come a day where there'll be no crying. God will wipe it. Well done, child. Well done, thou faithful servant. Listen. The confidence it gives when we hope in God and let God get us through this problem outweighs all the anger, the frustration, and all the indignation that's inside of us over the cause of the problem. As sure as I'm standing here, God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But He also said there'll be trials and problems and difficulties of life. It's simply part of life. Run to God. Run to God. Why do we want to do that? Because I didn't read the rest of the chapter. I just wanted to give you a little preview. But I want you to read it when you get home. Chapter 42. I'm going to read the first verse. As the heart panteth after the water of brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Are you thirsting for God? Let's stand our feet.